So this is how a blind comedian gets to his gig by the train. First, you'll summon an Uber. Now that does have quite an accessible app, so I recommend that. You get your Uber. Now that will take you near the station, because about 10, 15 years ago, the governments waged war on taxis going anywhere near train stations. So what you do now is you get dropped off about 100 yards from the front door. Now your options there are twofold. You can either start seeing perfectly for about a minute and a half, I think that's what people think we can do, or the more likely option is you get the Uber driver to take you to the door. Now, he's probably, or she, is probably not trained in this, so there's a good chance you're dragged to the station mouth by your belt. Now, there you're introduced to anybody with a high vis. Now, that can be a policeman down to a cleaner. And then somebody will chatter on their walkie-talkies and your official pre-booked assistant will arrive. Now, these are brilliant people. Although sometimes they get a bit power-happy. They think that having a blind person means they can shout at other passengers. So you are roared onto the platform where you stand. Because you're nice and early. Because you're blind. We don't rush. You find out your train's delayed by 23 minutes. 22 minutes go by, then there's a tunnel announcement. A last minute platform change. Now this puts your assistant into DEFCON 1. You are grabbed by the elbow and you are charged over to the other platform. Get out the way, get out the way, get out the way. Let the blind man on first. You get on your train. There's some poor sod in your pre-booked seat. They get a mouthful. You apologise to them and you're sat down. They go away. Your train journey begins. Today there'll be a static trolley service, a new lazy initiative brought in from the pandemic. Now this is where a trolley person decides they do not want to push the trolley up and down the train, rather they will park it next to a toilet and you go to them. Then the toilet. Oh no, you need the toilet. So you go to this push button thing. Now this is if Crystal Maze had a toilet section. You kind of massage the walls until you find the buttons you need. The door will close. You're never sure if it's locked. You do what you need to do. Then you hover your hands under a part of the wall. Some will scoosh out water, some will scoosh out air. Back to your seat. Now what's happened? Because you're 23 minute delay, the train in its infinite wisdom has decided it's going to kick you off the stop before the one you were going to save time or to just totally mess with your head. So off you pop, but you haven't had assistance at that station, so you have to rely on members of the public to get you back on the upcoming train. You get into the station, I'd say 50 to an hour late, and of course since it's a new train the assistance is cancelled, so you stand on the platform until somebody, normally another cleaner or a policeman, takes pity on you. More walkie-talkies, you get picked up by an assistant who says that you weren't pre-booked, and then you have an argument with them until you put in a taxi and then you go to the gig. And my God, you just hope that goes well.
And here is Jamie himself to talk about trains. It's a very topical topic. Can I say topical topic, or does that sound as if I haven't prepared?
No, it is a topical topic because trains are everywhere at the moment. Like, you know, they're getting nationalised. So I think in my piece there, they weren't nationalised. So what hell I described there is going to get worse because the government are going to take them over. And I don't think that's ever worked.
Yeah, nationalising the trains. Does that mean we go back to toilet paper that was like tracing paper and stuff like that and sandwiches that just kind of, no?
Yeah, I think with nationalisation, when stuff goes into the government, accountability seems to go out the window. Like, so who's responsible? Who's like, nobody. So who can I shout at? Nobody. They just get angry. Yep.
I was talking with someone from ScotRail at the station near here at the radio station, actually, and the screens that you have on the platforms that tell you how late your train's going to be or it's been cancelled, one had broken down, and I said, so when does it get fixed? They went, oh, well, you see, you have to speak to the train operator, then you have to speak to Network Rail that own the station, then you have to speak to the company that does the software for them, and then they all have to agree a time to fix it. Is it any wonder we're in such a state?
It's a mess. You hold your head in your hands. I mean, like, that. I give up work because of the trains. Like, I lose work because the trains are going to mess up. Right? Like, there's not a train back. I live in Sheffield, get from Manchester to Sheffield anytime after, like, I don't know, 10:30 at night or something. Like, there's just no train. Or if there is train, it's the mental last one where the assistants have decided, well, nobody really should have assistance at 10:30. And you throw yourself on the mercy of some pretty hedonistic party goers, and which actually tend to be quite helpful, but you know, it's not a workable system.
Do you use the passenger assistance app?
Do you use the app?
I do. I've used it for a few years now, because I know you're a bit of a techno, self-prescribed technophobe.
So I phone And then I go down to the station in a cab. The cab driver tends to square me off at the mouth of the station. I've either been dragged there by my belt or nose. Then I kind of just like walk in because I know that the assistance bit's right up the back. So I just kind of walk quite slowly and steady until somebody spots me, and then I'm in the system. And once you're in the system, I always find them, they're all very good. But I like you've experienced the power happy ones that go clear, coming through, move, move, here he comes. You're like, you kind of go until I'm sorry about that, sorry about that. Sorry, I love that. God help anyone who's sat in your chair. If you've pre-booked it, get a blind man here, you horrible lot, move! You sit down all kind of sheepish, but is there a way of, on the app, telling the station you're arriving in a cab?
See,
can you communicate with it?
That's what I would like, is that could be an extra bit on it. So you put in all your, you know, I want to get this training, so I'm going there. I've got a guide dog, I want somebody to help me find the train, get me onto the carriage, and then I've got to change trains, you know, can someone meet me at the train and get onto the next train on to complete the rest of my journey? Then when I get to the other end, could someone give me a hand out to the taxi rank? That's kind of what you put down. And, you know, I don't need the golf buggy that bleeps to let everyone know you're coming through. You sit with your head in your hands going to hope nobody notices me travelling on this. But as you say, it's the ones that come on the train and go, get off of that seat, blind guy needs a seat. And you think, I've got to sit on the train with these people.
Sometimes I used to go from Glasgow to Manchester Airport, and occasionally that train would be late leaving Glasgow. And they'd come on and say, because we're late leaving Glasgow, we're going to boot you off at Manchester Piccadilly and you can just get the next week airport shuttle. Like, oh, fantastic. And you think, well, I don't have any assistance booked at that next station. You know, so once the kind of the train starts screwing up their times, the assistants, there's nothing they can do because they're not mind readers. They can't just figure out where you are. Yeah, you end up a lot of times asking members of the public for help, which by and large works, by the way, but again, not a workable system.
I was coming back from London and it pulled into a station, I don't know, Wolverhampton or something, and it stopped and it said, right, problem with the train. You're going to have to get off here and get to another platform to get this other train to Carlisle, and then we'll work out what's going to happen from there. So I kind of thought, okay, someone's going to come and get me. They know I'm here. No one. And then all of a sudden, these people start coming on the train. I thought, maybe I need to get off. Now, I didn't have the guide dog at this point either.
Right.
And I thought, because normally I just put, right, okay, get off the train with the dog, right, follow those people. No one came. And then suddenly an announcement, this train is for London Euston. Whoa, right, okay, flew off, grab everything you can, barge people out the way till you get off the train, and then just look helpless and shout at members of the public and go, excuse me, could you help me find my other train?
And then you get, since the pandemic, is that when you get on the trolley service, the guys come over and say, oh, we're having a static service today. Have you heard that one?
No, because the trains I've been on, long distance ones, there's been no trolley, it's find the buffet car. Or the shop, as they call it now. The buffet car, how British Rail. It was the shop.
No, well, sometimes when they don't have a shop on the Sheffield to Edinburgh ones, it's a trolley. This means, right, he's putting the brakes on his trolley and he's just sat at the back of the train. You go in. They should be saying, tears and cups in the moon. Hello, sir. And he, because then I then say to the conductor, why is he not providing a service? I kind of imply that I'm a kind of secret little shopper. And that seems to get them moving a bit.
I like the sound of that. I'm going to remember that. I'll make a note of that. But it's because if I've been on the trains myself, I'm going the long distance, like, right, I want to go to the shop on the train because I might want something to drink or something to eat.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, blind guy's coming through the train with a boiling lava hot cup of coffee, a sandwich, a dog. Well, the train's rattling along at 120 miles an hour in corners and points. There has to be a health and safety issue in there somewhere, if not for the passengers, for me.
Especially if you've also got like a panini, which is also about 3,000 degrees hot. You're basically a walking bomb. Like the start of an advert where it all goes wrong, aren't you? What not to do a safety video at work?
When the announcements on the trains work, they're good.
Yep.
You know, when they tell you what the next stop is, or you know, sometimes I've been to train stations and I've not had a chance. You know, you come up the platform, the train's there. And you're like, right, is that the one I want? And you listen for it. Hopefully, it'll say, this train is for blah, blah, blah. Before the door shut, you go, that's mine. And on you go. But there's nothing where I've been on trains where the announcement has been like a stop ahead or behind.
You relax, don't you, when you get on and they say, this is the train you think it is. This is the train you want.
It's
it
a huge relief.
Yeah. Oh, good. I am going south, not north. Good. This is fantastic. I am going to the right place. There's a series of tensions, isn't it? Because then you don't know when you get to your terminus station. I got to St. Pancras. I got off the train and I was waiting for ages. And somebody finally took pity and then spoke to somebody who was walkie-talkie chatting. And then this angry assistant came up and said, "Well, they never told us you were on." I said, "Well, you could have had a punt that I might have been, come and check." And it's like, he started giving me all this like woe is me stuff. I was like, I was not expecting a row, man. I was expecting an apology. You're getting absolute dog's abuse from somebody who you can't really go too hard back at because you're holding onto their elbow. They've kind of got all the power.
You'll be passive aggressive, but supportive of them for not having been informed of your presence.
"I'm so sorry somebody at another station didn't tell you exactly where I was in this train, but I am on your sheet, pal."
So R&IB were part of a group that campaigned successfully, I may add, to stop the closure of a lot of ticket offices up and down the country, right around the
Yeah,
UK,
good, good,
which
well
was
done.
great because I have been in services, I've booked assistance. Someone will meet you off the train. You get off the train and there's nobody in the station. That has happened to me. And I remember I phoned the helpline that you use, the old school one, and they've said, "Oh, we'll have to get someone to drive from the next station and help you to the taxi." The taxi's probably about 40 feet from me somewhere. Maybe there's some stairs involved. And I'm like, "Really?"
They come to get you.
No, I made my own way. I just said, "Look, it's okay. I'll follow people and I'm sure
Figure
I'll
it
end
out.
up somewhere." Obviously, I was on a bit of a schedule, couldn't be late. So I mean, trains stations not being staffed is a bit difficult. Or they say, "Well, if you need a ticket, there's machines you can use."
Yeah, the machines are impossible now. I have no idea. But I think that's changed now. I think I do get e-tickets. It means I don't have to just keep giving my credit card to strangers. Odds on that will go wrong.
Everyone's going to be looking out for you now when you're traveling on the train. Can I give your hands up? You'll now be inundated with support. I remember you were talking about, was it being on a train with your Mount Vesuvius coffee and someone offering to blow on it to cool it
Oh
down for you
yeah. Aye,
because
yeah,
you're blind and you might injure yourself?
that's my bit on people doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. And it's true, I've got a roasting hot cup of tea from the trolley and the old lady next to me blew on it for me. Oh, for God's sake. What can you do? You can't go mental, just be nice, but totally wrong. You have to drink it as well. Just take the shine off it a bit.
Overall, though, would you say using the train is maybe better than it was a few years ago now? Do you feel more confident using the train?
The trains themselves are good, like the assistance is good and stuff, but the whole train experience, you remember Central, Queen Street, Waverley, the taxis were in the station. Now they're miles away. For some reason, they've redone Queen Street. I do not know where a person with any type of mobility issues is supposed to, unless a black hack taxi can drive around George Square, but that's it. If you're getting driven in by any other means, by a pal or family, I think the closest they can get is like the other side of George Square. That's crazy.
It's interesting you mentioned Edinburgh Waverley because, yeah, it used to be you could get off the train on the concourse and you could walk down and there was a road that went through the station and the taxis
Yeah.
were there. It was like,
Absolute dream.
yes. Now you have to come off the concourse, you go up some stairs, along a couple of windy corridors, up some more stairs onto a street, and then you have to work out, is it on Market Street to the right now or is it to the left on this side of Market Street? But mind you, a few weeks ago it was on the other side of the road on Market Street, but further along.
Yeah, it seems to change weekly there. I think the farthest it was like actually under North Bridge and keep going. You're nearly at the Royal Mile before you get a taxi. Mental.
If you've got to go somewhere for a gig, is that a bit of a stress then? So it's saying, right, I have to get here, how am I going to do it? And how will I kind of work out problems on the way?
I've had the train stations, they become unmanned quite early, like Doncaster and York and places like that. And like, clearly there's nobody about. Luckily, blind people tend to be quite resourceful and you don't panic because you could be quite like, right, what shall I do here? Because there's a chance if I go that way, I'm going to fall onto some train tracks. If I go this way, I'm going to fall down some stairs. Like, I think I once texted that number, the see it sorted number, say, like, by the way, just so you know, I'm in danger in one of your stations. And they got back to me saying, we have contacted the station, but they didn't, nothing came of it. I think a train came in at the time on the same platform, and I think I just popped my head in the train and went, "Is this a train to Sheffield?" So they went, "Yeah, mate." And they got on. Well, I mean, as far as Doncaster station goes, thanks, I'm still there somewhere.
I have turned up at an unmanned station as well. And eventually, like you say, great members of the public, gave me a hand on the train, fantastic. And then I got the call saying, how would you rate your support for this journey? Well, yeah. Everything booking the journey was great. However, there was nobody at the station. I had my white cane, but I didn't have a dog at that point. I was in between guide dogs. So I had the cane, but there was no one. Why couldn't I have been told that station is a non-staffed station? Oh, but there are help points even on the platform. You just find one of them and hit the button and you'll get straight through to someone. What bit about I'm blind? Yeah. How do I find the help point?
I think there is an assumption that blind people, when it comes to it, and they really have to, can quickly see for a minute.
Use the force.
Use the force, yeah. Because it's like that. I remember from Haymarket going to the tram, the assistant said they're not allowed to leave the station. They're not allowed to cross the tram tracks. And they said, well, so what do you want me to do? And they said, well, I can kind of shout directions, like, you know, left a bit, straight a bit. So, oh, that's what we did. And it's humiliating. So, you know, I think a member of the public said, like, oh, come on, it's this way, mate. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Such unjoined up thinking, because they're not insured to cross a tram track.
In your bit at the start as well, something which rang true for me, and I'm sure for many blind and partially sighted people as well, is if you're on a long distance journey and you have to use the facilities.
Oh,
it's the right. The first thing you think of is it a normal handle, turny lock thing door?
That's the dream.
Or is it the door that the buttons never seem to be in the same place?
The pointy in arrows, the pointy out arrows, and the one I think is meant to be a key. It's just an exercise in rubbing. That's what you do. You just go and rub walls, you find that, close it, lock it, do what you need to do. Then you rub the back of the bog to try and find that flush. And then you start hovering your hands around mid-waist height till water or air spews out of kind of an unseen nook, always with the thought, is that locked?
There's no conformity. You know, if they said, right, whatever the train is, however we build it, when you go in that door, all the buttons will be right on the left-hand side of the side of the door. There's been ones near the sink. There's been ones halfway up a wall. There's been, like, where are they? And I've had ones that didn't have a button for the lock. It was a thing that you had to twist when a door was closed.
Oh, if I felt them, yeah. That's a kind of like a lever that you flick over the left or the
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's that. Do you know what? It does say when you do that, the door is locked. I find that one quite
helpful.
Satisfying.
Yeah. Sense of achievement.
Yeah.
I've done it. I'm not going to be using the facilities and someone's going to open the door, especially if it's an accessible toilet and the door is the wall.
And the way it's angled, first thing they see. It's not like they'll just see your back.
It's a wee bit of conformity would be nice. But do you know what? See, when you get a door that's a hand on a lock, you think you have won a watch.
Oh,
it's you've won that caravan and bullseye.
Yeah, and especially if it's very close to your seat. That's when you can start ordering beers from the trolley. If anyone needs me, I'll be in this lobby.
And I have come across Braille. In the most unlikely place, it was like, you know, with the bike racks. Sometimes you go on a train, there's a big row of kind of bike racks.
Aye.
And there was Braille on the wall. And just out of curiosity, you know, I was with some friends. I wonder what that says. And they said, oh, it says bicycle rack. Because it had it written above it. So why would I need Braille?
Some guy in his bike was hand out with the bike rack. I'm more interested in the journey how you got here, mate.
Where does your guide dog go?
Yeah. A wee basket.
Do you just grit and bear it and hope for better the next time?
I think so, because, I mean, you're going to have to use it, because I've got absolutely no idea how to use a bus. I'd like to be able to just take a chauffeur-driven Rolls Royce, but it's a super off-peak apex return, I'm afraid.
Once you get your smart glasses, then there'll be no stopping you. You'll be able to find the lock button for the toilet. You'll be able to check the screens while someone else can come through the glasses and tell you all about it. We need to get you tech up.
I would be afraid, after I found the buttons, that I didn't turn the smart glasses off. So you found your flying all. Oops.
On that point, we shall bring things to a close. We'll terminate the train discussion.
All change, please.
Jamie, thank you very much for chatting with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.